Welcome to the Resound Worship Songwriting Podcast, episode 145. I'm Joel Payne.
I'm Sam Hargreaves.
And this is a podcast to equip and inspire grassroots songwriters serving their local church and beyond. In this episode, we'll be looking back on January's Songs of Repentance and Restoration in the 12-Song Challenge. And then we're going to think about how we can break the shackles of worship songwriting theory. Ha-ha. Hello. How's that sound?
Sounds fun.
Does sound good, doesn't it? Before we carry on, there were supposed to be several more of us in this podcast. I had to reschedule at the last minute, so we suddenly our American contingent are still in bed, so unable to join us. And then we've lost Rebecca somewhere in the ether, but hopefully she will reappear before too long. But I did just want to say we should have had Derek with us today. Derek lives and works in the heart of Minneapolis, and it was going to be very difficult for him to join us. So we just want to say, Derek, just to assure you of our love and support for you and our prayers for your city. And we are joined by Rebecca Bees. Rebecca, welcome.
Hey.
Hey.
You've had some technological fun and games this morning.
Tech is not my friend right now. I'm very cross with it. It's been a naughty boy.
Oh, dear.
Dear.
Oh, dear. Well, we're glad you're here. We are very glad. We've just done the welcome and preamble bit, and we're doing the little catch-up. While you catch your breath, Rebecca, Sam, is there anything you want to confess to us about other podcasts?
Yes, Joel, I'm afraid I must say that we have restarted the Engage podcast. In fact, we've redone it, because it used to be called Disrupting Worship, and it was a kind of series of interviews, and we decided instead to do a monthly, basically, chat with me and Sarah, where we kind of keep people up to date with what we're doing. And we have put out the first episode, and it was quite fun. So
tell us about the first episode. What's in it?
We basically got in a review last year, talk about what we've been up to. Sarah tells you about her e-bike.
Yeah.
I tell you about my forays into playing football.
Sam.
Yeah, I know. Anyone who knows me is like, Sam, football, these two things do not go together. So you have to listen to the podcast to find out.
I love it. I bet you cheer every time the opposition scores.
I scored a fantastic own goal this week.
Did you?
Yeah, absolutely. Just put it in my own goal.
Oh, that's really cool. Oh, great.
So that's me. And also, we have put out a new resource called The Really Useful Book for Leading Worship Without a Worship Team.
That's so good.
Which is a snappy title.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that it partly came from Timo, our former colleague, basically said, look, I've got so many people in my home group saying, can you send us someone with a guitar to lead worship in our home group?
Yeah.
And he said, there's got to be another way. Surely there's got. And then we also hear from a lot of churches who say, we don't have the big team or the technology or the skilled leaders. And we kind of thought, surely Jesus has made the way to the Father by the Spirit.
Yes.
Surely,
not
you know,
the
in a sense.
Guitar.
Exactly. Well. Surely that's all we need. And yet we do know that people need just little prompts, little help. Yeah. So it's a book that's just full of ideas. It's got a lot of the Resound community songs in, because we wanted a few songs in there as well that were simple enough to do, you know, without too much kerfuffle. So I think that journey that Resound's been on with the community songs, and that we've been on in terms of thinking about other forms of worship that you can do when you're kind of not necessarily singing, that has kind of all come together in this book. So we're excited about that, and it is now out.
Hooray. Yeah, amazing. That's good, isn't it, Rebecca?
I'm excited for this. I come across a lot of church communities that are just on their knees with trying to keep worship going, and I just love the idea of there being something bigger that people can see.
And it's a load of stuff that you don't have to only apply when you haven't got a worship team.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a shift in thinking as well as
helpful. This is great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You've got a load of musicians, but what about doing some of this stuff anyway? Because it would be really good for you.
Yes.
He says, not having read it, but I know you, Sam. I was thinking about your podcast and how my wife listens to our podcast to find out what I'm doing, what I'm up to. in life. I was wondering how that would work with yours.
Yeah, we'd probably listen to it and go, oh.
Do you plan your shopping lists and things in it? And
yeah, yeah, we could do. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Who's going to pick up the kids today? Yeah.
Oh, what have you been up to, Rebecca?
People ask me that and I'm like, there's been so much going on, I can't remember it all. Yeah, lots of stuff. December and January tend to be my quieter months because I work with churches and they're obviously either doing Christmas things and then recovering. Yeah. So February and March are just insane. So January and December tend to be my preparation time.
Yep.
So I'm heading into a busy few months just with different events. We've got the Resound retreat next week, which I'm really excited about. That's going to be good. And we've got the Evergreen Day coming up in March, which is going to be great as well. So, just thinking about those things and doing my normal teaching and being mum, which is a whirlwind.
Oh, thanks, mum. I got those. It's the retreat. There's 26 of us going to gather in the Midlands. That's pretty exciting. Yeah. I think it'd be cool because it's going to be... It's a bit like going back to the early days of the Wydale retreat. Not the earliest days, but probably by the second year or something, it was about that kind of number. And it's a different vibe. It's nice. It'll be that little bit more informal. We've got some people we know well coming and a bunch of new names as well. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? And we've got Sue Crossman is coming to be one of the group leaders as well, which... That's great. Sue's great. And it's nice to get properly involved. And also doing a big recording almost straight after this for Jubilate. So we talked about it before, a bunch of new songs and hymns. Lots of Resound people involved one way or another at Sam's Church. So it's a lot. It's a lot happening in the next 10 days or so. But I think it's going
to
be...
You do manage to do this to yourself, Joel.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised you're not launching a double album at the same time.
I'm not a very good judge of how much work stuff is until it happens, but I am a procrastinator. Anyway, there we go. Great. Well, if anybody wants any guests for their podcast, just saying, we're free. We're free, aren't we, Rebecca? Everyone's
we're free, yes.
You know, a real authoritative expert voice. Shall we move on and review the 12-song challenge? 12-song challenge. Okay. January was repentance and restoration. Tell us about it. Rebecca, tell us what's been happening this month.
Well, we've had people writing songs and posting them. And actually, it's been great. I've had a really good listen through. And I did wonder at the beginning whether this was going to be a bit of a depressing month.
Yeah,
down a month.
we just hear loads of songs about how awful we are. But that doesn't seem to have been the case. There's been a really good mix of some celebration songs where we've celebrated that we have access to this this whole thing, yep, where we can make ourselves clean and connect with God. And that's been really great. And we've had some that have really sort of dug into some of the more difficult themes. There's been lots about how God restores us. So it feels like there's been a really good mix.
I agree. I've in my group... Martin Leckerbusch wrote a really kind of thoughtful hymn, really delving into the theology and all the different angles of what it means to be, you know, feel guilty and repent. And then some really absolutely simple, you know, very short songs of repentance. So I think this people responded to this really well.
Yeah. One thing I've appreciated is, as with all themes, there's some different perspectives and theological nuances and so on. And there have been a few people who found this a more difficult theme for whatever reason, but have come in with their own spin and written really good songs. I've really appreciated that there's a breadth in it from deep down in the dirt, feeling like a worm, through to celebrating the generosity of God. And we've seen people have dived into the stuff, which is really speaking to them. And even where people... come from different standpoints, they've actually I feel like we've been blessed by seeing that richness, which we do, don't we? But I do love seeing the richness that we do in 12 Song Challenge. Who's got a song for us?
Okay, so from Team Stilton, I want to highlight Irene Bomb. Irene is a veteran of the 12 Song Challenge, and she's been to lots of Wydell. If you don't know her songs, it's really worth going and checking out all of her stuff. She has such a beautiful style. It's this sort of very, always quite simple, very melodic, very singable. And interestingly, about this one, she said it took ages to find the right melody. Starting on the fifth note of the chord instead of the third was the breakthrough. And so I love the idea that although when you hear it, it seems very simple.
Seems utterly effortless, like it just came out, yeah.
Entirely, yeah. Actually, it's clearly taken her ages to kind of hone it and work it. So that is brilliant. And yeah, it just works. It's just great.
Great.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Put things right. We, your creatures, need you, Jesus. Where there's darkness, shine your light. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Put things right. We, your creatures, shine your light.
Sam Hargreaves says, vintage Irene Bomb, usable, melodic, timeless. Said it all.
Oh, that's good. Said it better than myself.
Thanks, Irene. Well, I love short songs like that, simple. You can intersperse them in prayers. You can use them. There's so many different ways you can use them, aren't there? So it's a really valuable thing to have 100%. Up your sleeve. Brilliant. Rebecca, give us a song.
I'm going to share. I'm going to share from Team Yorkshire, Andrew Sterling. I loved this from the minute I heard it. I've got one of those brains where when I'm writing songs, I hear an entire arrangement, but I don't often hear that in other people's songs. But in this, I did. I could hear it being used in churches. I could hear it being all age. I could hear it being played by a guitar with like maybe some palm music to keep the rhythm of it going through. But it felt joyful celebration. And I know that there are some places he still wants to tweak things, but I loved that line in verse 2, amazed your grace becomes my embrace, held in a hope that will restore. So it felt like a really joyful way of celebrating all the good things that God has done in allowing this restoration process to be accessible to us.
I turned around, I'm coming back home, can't live for myself anymore. Goodbye to pride and festering lies that made me who I was before. I've found the love and doors open wide that won't let me go anymore. Amazed your grace becomes my embrace, held in a hope that will restore. Good news has come, the kingdom's near.
Has been in my head all
month. It's groovy, isn't it?
That line that you picked out, amazed your grace becomes my embrace, it's got this packed in triple rhyme thing, and in the first verse, goodbye to pride and festering lies, the same little rhyming device which really kind of zooms in on that line. But the contrast between pride and festering lies and amazed your grace becomes my embrace, isn't that lovely? All in space, two verses.
It's great.
Yeah, I like those big gaps in the chorus as well. Makes you, gives you space to breathe, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Let me bring a song. I've got one from my team. This is by James Moorcroft, and who is pretty new to the challenge, actually. I don't think he's only been in a couple of months. And he's written this one with his daughter Zoe, and it's based on sitting in the
Dock of the Bay.
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, reading some words from St. Augustine's Confessions. They're quite well-known words. I think you'll recognise some of them. But it does, it sort of draws you into this wonder at restoration. That's the part of the kind of tone of, it's a song of wonder, wonderful things it's called, of wonder at restoration. But the wonder is there because you recognise where you've been, where God's brought you out from.
Beauty so ancient, beauty so new, laid up by love. You were within, I was outside, seeking there for you. Amongst all of the wonderful things that you have made, amongst all of the wonderful things that you have made, bent out of shape, broken within, searching.
Sam, before we move on to analyse the song, help us hit. What is he doing on his guitar? That half the people are listening and going, how does he do that? What is it?
You read my mind.
Is it like an open D or something?
He's got some open C going on. It's even lower.
Whoa.
Than open. I was like, that sounds really low.
Yeah.
As soon as he hit that lowest note. Yeah. And I think he's tuned the bottom, the E down to a C. Whoa. So it's a big old low. Wow. Yeah,
and then you
gorgeous.
Can kind of play a C shape just with that lovely low.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the rest of it, but it's a really lovely sound.
Can you find out for next time? Can you work?
Yeah,
work
okay,
it out?
James. It's such a, tell us the tuning.
It's such a lovely tuning, isn't it?
I love that line. I was looking for love in. I was looking for the right thing in all the wrong places. You were with me, but I was not with you.
That's beautiful.
Challenging, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really good because it's so plain. I love it. Poetry can sometimes just be in the plainest words, can't it? And yeah, it's so profound.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely stuff. Thanks, James. There's a lovely little comment as well. James says in the, on the song, the feedback, he says, I showed one of my friends the comments on here about people's songs and she said, wow, that's such high quality feedback. I feel like I should give feedback about the feedback. It's so good. That's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear about the 12 Song Challenge. Quality feedback every day of the week. you got one more for us, haven't you, Rebecca? You've been scouring.
I do, and it comes from our 12 Song Challenge chief encourager himself, Mr. David Davis of Bakewell.
Bakewell, Alabama.
What he's done
Bakewell,
here. Yeah. What he said that he doesn't really do liturgy in his church. It's not something he's used to, but his daughter does. And so he's exploring something that he doesn't really do normally. So he's taken a step out of his comfort zone, which I massively applaud. When I first heard this, I was like, oh, I'm not sure we'll be able to sing those verses. They felt quite loose. And then I was just listening to it. And then I read that it's a call and response. But it just feels so worshipful. And it feels like even though it's quite fast moving, there's real space to dwell on these different things and then keep drawing in the congregation together for the chorus. So you get this sort of space where you're singing, but this space where you're really able to dwell on the words and engage a different sense. So I just felt the whole thing of this was really beautiful.
I pray, and the Lord saved me from all my troubles. I pray, and the Lord saved me from all my troubles. Gather us in your light. Hold every trembling heart. Hear each word we sing aloud, and the ones we barely speak. I pray, and the Lord saved me from all my trouble. When fear presses close and night feels endless, fill our spirits with your light and lead us through the dark. I pray, and the Lord saved me from all my trouble. When our strength runs thin and hope frays at the edges, breathe your rest upon us and lift our heads again. And the Lord saved me from all my trouble in the places.
That's fantastic. Wow.
You just want
to
sing
so
it, don't you?
I'm so drawn into that little phrase. I love that you could slip all kinds of stuff in between. It can be reading the scriptures as he's doing, but it could also be prayers of your own prayers of confession or your prayers of lament or whatever. And then you respond with these words of confidence, which are drawn from the scriptures.
Beautiful melody there. Like, it's so singable.
Really?
You can hear all the harmony.
Sort of Mumford and Sons about it, the way they use those sort of pentatonic melodies. The one thing that I wanted to suggest, we don't say troubles.
No.
We say troubles.
Yeah,
I prayed, and the Lord save me from all my troubles. Just give that a boom
at
the
end. It'd be nice
to sing.
Aha, that's great. I love whenever I see people in the 12 Song Challenge say, I'm trying something that's a bit different to what I'm used to. And sometimes, so, you know, David says here, my church doesn't do call and response. I reckon if he did this with his church, they might do call and response. I reckon they might say, whoa, David, you've opened
sing that
up
melody.
A whole new dimension of worship. And we get that by gathering together, by being open and vulnerable and generous, bringing our different traditions, bringing our different experiences, sharing them together and learning from each other to the extent where we're like, I want to try a song like that. That's a wonderful, I think that's a lesson for humanity, if I may say. That wouldn't be bad, would it? We all kind of get together generously, learn from each other. I feel like the world could do with some more of that. 12 song challenge for the win.
12 song challenge.
Well, I feel like the last song we just listened to by David Davis leads us nicely into this month's challenge. And this month is If Only Songs. That's what I call them. So let me try and explain.
Do you know, I was in a band, Joel.
Yeah.
I was in a band when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And it was called If Only.
No way.
So please.
Sam's found his songs for the last.
You've already written them.
But nobody wants to use those songs.
I would love to hear them. Are they kind of Radiohead inspired?
They were.
Can we end the podcast with one?
I was saying you're a strange person in many ways, Sam, but one of the ones is that you are such a cheerful, positive person, and yet you like Radiohead. I don't get how it works. Like, I just can't think of a less angsty person.
I just need something to bring me down occasionally.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So, If Only. Here's the idea. Congregational worship songwriting is full of limitations. You are there to serve the congregation, not to satisfy your own artistic impulses. The ability, stories, culture, theology, preferences of the people in your church are all in different ways. the parameters within which you need to write your songs, and they matter. And we've talked before about how writing within those parameters is an act of service and it's an act of kindness. So you're writing songs that engage, include and inspire people, and you're willing to sacrifice your own preferences to that end. It's an act of preferring others above yourself in church, which is a strongly New Testament principle. And that is what we really encourage. However, this month, what if none of those limitations applied? So that's what this month's challenge is all about. So if only songs are the answer to when you say, oh, if only church songs could sound like this, or if only my congregation would get what I'm trying to do with this song, or if only these topics were welcome or understood in my church, or if only I had a DJ and a piper in my worship team, or if only anyone could actually play these chords, or whatever it might be, if only I wasn't shackled by all this great worship songwriting theory, what would I write? So the kind of aim here, we're not saying, oh, just forget church. We say, no, think church, but just allow yourself for a minute to imagine your ideal band, your ideal congregation, your ideal, but still, you know, we're not writing songs for the radio. We still want to write songs for church. But where, what do you think? Oh, if only I was allowed to do this. What do you think about this as a challenge?
I love it. As a music teacher, this is everything that I do with my students. So I literally just had one last night. He's learning the picking riff from Fast Car, Tracy Chapman. And so we've gone through it. He's learned it. And I said, OK, well, play it with these chords, and then started singing Bless the Lord, O My Soul over it. Just the chorus. And he's like, you can't do that, Mum. You absolutely can. No, push the chord here. It's like, could you? Yes. I'm like, why? So maybe we could do it. If you wanted to break out of your usual playing, maybe there's a song that you really like. Play that song, then carry on and start to sing your own thing over the end of it and see what happens. And like, I would love to see what this next generation is going to bring from their music that they're listening to into worship. And I'd love to make space for that. So that's what I'm constantly trying to get my students to do. Is say, well, how can I take the things that I've learnt there and maybe bring them into church songs that already exist, or write my own? So I'm very excited about, like, let's get out of this standard way that we tend to write and see what can come out of it. Very exciting.
Absolutely. And sometimes you get those opportunities very occasionally, don't you? Like, so maybe like Christmas, you might say, oh, at Christmas, we get to do, you know, something more performancey, or Easter Day, we get to do a gospel choir, or for the you know, kids' holiday club, we can do loud rock worship rather than the normal sort of stuff. You know, that you do get those glimpses, and actually some of those can be some of the most creative, and some of the and sometimes can even like make you think, oh, maybe there's an element of this that could come into Sunday morning.
Yeah.
But it's good anyway, isn't it, just to do things almost just as an exercise.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, it's just to get it out of your system as part of the 12 song challenge. It teaches you something, and it opens up new ideas.
Yeah. I think I frequently hear, as I read through the songs and things and the comments or in songwriting groups and so on, you frequently hear, I like that, but it's not congregational. And then you hear someone else say, well, isn't it? I mean, why isn't it congregational? And quite often it's just purely a stylistic thing. It's just sort of, it doesn't sound like a worship song. What do you have any particular kind of frustrations? I mean, I feel completely institutionalized in worship songwriting. So I find it really hard to break out whatever boundaries I think are there in the first place. But do you have any that you kind of like, oh, I'd love to not have to worry about this bit?
I find it a bit overwhelming with the variety of styles that there are available. And like back in the day, we used to have like one radio station. You'd go to the same place for your music, really, wouldn't you? So you'd have lots of people who perhaps had slightly different styles, but everybody knew them. Whereas now it's so diversified in the styles of things that people listen to. It's like, what is the collective sound? So I think that's the biggest struggle I have, is like there's so much variety of what you could do. And then you're limited by the way in which you've been trained either to play your instrument. There's limitations there. And it's knowing where to find the things to sort of break yourself out from the patterns that you found yourself in. That's more the tricky thing, is how do you go, where do you go to find something that's different from what you would normally do? I think one of the frustrations is the limitation of range.
I would say that's a big one, yeah. Because you don't get to do the melody you wanted to do. And what if you're, if only everyone just had a bigger range. Cool. Go with that this month. That's good, isn't it? Let's give that a go.
Yeah, I think for me, like, we don't have a band at my church. So I think we've been increasingly writing simpler songs that will work with a small group, and that's great. But I might have a go at writing something very intentionally for a band that I'm probably never going to play with.
Yeah.
And I also think the lyrical thing as well, you do tend to, you know, feel like you need to fit into a very narrow, agreeable set of themes and lyrics and images and stuff. Yeah. So I'm quite interested in sort of trying to almost shock myself in writing stuff that is outside of, that boundary.
Yeah, we kind of temper us. Well, I'm saying all this, and I know there are some people listening to this, or some people when they receive the challenge are just going to say, well, it's just what I do every month. I don't pay attention to your nonsense about what you can or can't sing in church. You just write what I want. It's just true, and we know who you are. And great. Hey, you're just going to have fun because you just write another song and pick your theme. But actually, maybe you're going to be the catalysts amongst us who maybe you can come and poke and say, poor, that seems a bit safe and churchy.
A bit normal, isn't it?
Haven't you got anything... Yeah, so I can hear certain voices saying, why are you still writing songs about shepherds? Have you got any other metaphors you can think of just in the whole world? Anything else that's not a shepherd and a sheep? Yeah. I think the musical thing, like I don't listen to worship music. I listen to other kinds of music. And then I come to church and I actually sort of, I don't think I just slide into a worship song mold in terms of what I write and so on. But I do it more in terms of what kind of songs I choose on a Sunday morning, because I'm just aware that if I arrive for a lead, I could try and do something completely novel and creative and just like what I would like, and I'm going to leave a bunch of people behind. And maybe over the course of several weeks, they'll catch up and that's fine. But in my context, I don't really have that opportunity to build that thing in the same way. But if I was just completely confident that whatever melody I write, whatever words I write, people will get it. They'll be able to sing it. And that they'll think, oh yeah, this is worship. And I think that in some ways, that's the biggest barrier, is the moment it sounds different, whether it's lyrically, musically, structurally, rhythmically, there's a sort of, oh, this isn't really worship. This is something else. And that for me is the sort of the big assumption I'd love to just park for a few minutes and see what happens.
I love the Porter's Gate, and they try and write in something that is going to not necessarily cause offence, but is going to make people think. Some people are thinking, oh, I don't know if I agree with that, because they want to challenge our assumptions. And I think you would say, sometimes we're quite safe in our material. Yeah. And in our topics, and maybe this is an opportunity, and maybe we need to be aware that we might need a little bit more grace.
we do the challenging ones on the 11th month of the challenge, because we assume everyone's great friends and really got the measure of it all.
There might be a bit of pot stirring happening, maybe we need to be careful we don't take offence, but that we're saying, okay, what I love about what the Porter's Gate do it is that they want people to leave people from hearing their songs thinking, oh, now what do I actually think about that, rather than just going along with the norm. It's not meant to be a controversial thing to make them think something else, but to make them realise what it is that they're thinking and why they think it. So there might be some things there just to maybe push and challenge people in their thinking.
For all those people who have been involved in Resound album processes and editorial processes and things, you can call it the Switch Off Joel Challenge, if you like. All that rubbish that Joel says of, you don't really want to do that.
How long does this challenge run for?
Andy yeah. Clark, parallel fists all over the place.
Andy, this is for you. Absolutely. This is for you. You put in whatever, you make up chords that don't exist, put them in, and we'll play them because you've got that band and that congregation just loves that stuff. Great. I mean, this is it. We haven't really given any more sense, any more direction. You kind of take it where you want to go, and take it in a, you know, break the shackles in a lyrical way, break them in a musical way, in a thematic way, and let's see what happens.
I think I might start a little thread in the clubhouse, just of like maybe some ideas of how musically you can break out, like just little exercises or things that you can do. So if there are some people who are thinking, I'd love to break out, but I'm not quite sure how, maybe we could throw our ideas in there, just so how we can try and get out of our normal way of writing things.
I love it. Let's do it. Write for the church, thanks, not the radio, but indulge as many if onlys as you like. That's all we've got for this month. All that remains is to introduce our featured song, and we're going to pick one out from Sam's back catalogue. Sam, tell us.
Yeah, this is when we were doing the Rest is Worship book and resources, and I just tried to write something that was kind of like the sort of chill out ambient music that I was listening to. I used a lot of loops and built the loops up underneath, and then it's, I don't really play the piano, but it's got this kind of piano figure that, again, it's not dramatic, but for me, it was outside of what I saw as sort of the mainstream
box
worship stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an attempt at that.
Nice stuff. What's it called?
Lead Me to a Place of Rest.
Great stuff. Bye.
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 Your presence.